so quiet the noise of our lives that we could hear your voice. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Old Testament epistle and gospel readings we heard this morning all have something in common. They are all prime examples of God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, the creator of us, interacting with his creation. All three readings have these divine events. God speaks directly to Moses in the Old Testament reading. In Peter's epistle, they heard a voice from heaven. We have been eyewitnesses of his majesty. Men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. From a cloud, a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." All of these people that interacted with God in this manner were transformed. They were transfigured. Now, transfigured is not a common word we hear today, but perhaps it should be. Being the Bible nerd I am, I looked up this verse in the Greek to see which word was used. And the Greek word is metamorphosai. Our word would be metamorphosis. Now, I looked up the definition, and it struck me as perfect. It is perfect. The definition of transfiguration is to have your outside match your inside. It's to have your outside match your inside. Think about Jesus on the mountain. I am sure finding words to adequately describe the sight was impossible. So Peter, James, and John said that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became dazzling white. This is the way they described Jesus's outside matching his inside. Well, these three events are remarkable, aren't they? I ask you, does God still interact like this with his creation today? I thought it appropriate, as this is my final sermon for a while here at St. John's, to share with you all a bit of my call story. I thought it prudent to let you all know a little bit about how God has interacted with me personally and ever so powerfully. One of my earliest childhood memories is a recollection that never allowed me the vanity of believing that God does not exist. I was 6 years old and in bed for the night when a presence came to my bedside. I sat up and I cried and I screamed for my mother, and she ran to my room. And I grabbed my chest, and I told her it hurt. And as any mother would, she asked me how my chest hurt, but all I could do was cry. After she held my trembling body for a few minutes, she took me downstairs and calmed me enough to speak. All I could say was that my heart hurt, and something was missing. Assured I was not having a heart attack, she rocked me to sleep in her lap on the couch. I slept through the phone call that the family received a few minutes later, revealing that my great aunt had died at the same time I started crying. My family witnessed this. Something was indeed missing. My great aunt had gone on, but what I did not tell my family was that she stopped by for a visit. She stood beside my bed, patted my leg, and said, "Everything will be okay." I was told that she used to read the Bible to me when we would visit her when I was very young. Her and her husband started one of the first Baptist churches on a certain side of Houston. So I spent much of my life in the past ignoring God, but I never have doubted his existence. The other event that I will share is while I was in Houston serving as the youth minister and working at Ascension, we received a curate, just like you all will soon. And he and I became friends, and I thought that since I was discerning a vocation, someone fresh out of seminary would have some good advice for me. I asked him if he had any thoughts on things that might clarify my calling, and he told me to pray the Psalms. And I thought, ugh, not the Psalms. Least favorite book at the time. But I heeded his advice. And so I went into the sanctuary every day during my lunch hour, and I prayed the Psalms. I didn't start at Psalm 1. I didn't start at the end of the Psalms. I just kind of flipped through the book and picked one. And in the middle of the second week of doing this, I ran across a psalm that stopped me. I fell to my knees, and not only did I pray that psalm over and over, but I worshiped God and I thanked God for it. As a sneak preview to my ordination, I have chosen for us to read this psalm. So if you will indulge me, I would like to read it to you all today. It's on page 798 in your prayer books. Page 798. And it is Psalm 143. Lord, hear my prayer, and in your faithfulness, heed my supplications. Answer me in your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for in your sight shall no one living be justified. For my enemy has sought my life. He's crushed me to the ground. He has made me live in dark places like those who are long dead. My spirit faints within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the times past. I muse upon all your deeds. I consider the works of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul gasps to you like a thirsty land. O Lord, make haste to answer me. My spirit fails me. Do not hide your face from me, or I shall be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear of your loving kindness in the morning, for I put my trust in you. Show me the road that I must walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord, for I flee to refuge. Teach me to do what pleases you, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring me out of trouble. Of your goodness, destroy my enemies and bring all my foes to naught. For truly, I am your servant. While I was praying this psalm, God said three things to me, almost audibly. I wrote them on a post-it note that I got off the organ. And the first was, trust that I am God and that I love you. The second was, trust the church to do its job. And the third was S.O.T. I went to my office after that encounter with God and sent a simple email to my priest. It said, "Father, I am called to be a priest." He called me down to his office and started the paperwork. And years later, I found that post-it note again, and as I was struggling to remember what suit meant, what amazing divine guidance this was, it came to me. Suit. Stay out of trouble. God knows me well. Does God still interact with his creation today? Yes, he absolutely does. He may not be as blatant about it as he is with me at times, but he is still interacting with all of us today. To be transfigured, the definition is to have your outside match your inside. Think about that definition in relation to us. We can use that same imagery of light. As a matter of fact, the epistle reading gives us this exact thing. When we are transfigured, which we all have been if we love Jesus, our outside should match our inside. We should, as it says, be a lamp shining in a dark place. This is what our transfigurations look like. We let the light of the divine, the light of Jesus Christ, shine forth from ourselves, our souls, and bodies. And as I move towards my ordination and my new assignment at St. George, I ask that you all pray for me. Pray that my outside matches my inside. My outside matches the love of Jesus that is inside. Amen.